Thank you, God, for hearing us and loving us and bringing us your mercy today and your arms of love that wrap around us and hold us. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy that the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath thee are the everlasting arms. Don't let us miss on that, God. Let us feel that and know your truth, as the truth is designed to substantiate us in peace and in joy in Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we give you thanks for all these offerings and praise your holy name, and then give you thanks for everything you give and everything you've done. Hear us as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I started out saying that during World War II, the British were in a battle in the seas, the high seas, against the Germans, ships against ships. And the Germans had reinforced their how's my hair looking, all right? I wish you had it. Thank you. I'm glad I got it back. Anyway, the Germans had reinforced their boats on the outside with iron and metal, and on as well as on the decks. But the British had only reinforced their boats, or the ships, I should call them, on the outside. But the capacity of the explosive shells in the artillery had managed to be increased so that the Germans were actually shooting high and above and dropping them down on the wooden decks of the British, which, of course, caused the British to lose that battle. And today, we come to this matter of truth, and obviously, if we try to extend that and reach for an illustration, we want to say that not only on the outside, but also on the decks, on the inside, we want God's truth, so that, again, under the onslaughts of the secular culture that tends to want to erode Christian positions from every angle, we're going to stand and we're going to be fine, and we're going to have our own, not only defensive position, but offensive strength to take that war regarding truth into the culture for God's glory and our joy in ministry and mission. Sound good? So that's what we're talking about today under, finally wrapping up January, a better than anything new year for 2021. Of course, it doesn't end at the end of January. We just happen to be January 31st, and we start a new sermon series next week, which God only knows what that's going to be. Thank you, God. You'll tell me. I know you will. Anyway, so we're looking at that, and I'm happy about telling us today on this very important matter of a better than anything new year, cinching up the belt of truth. Cinching up the belt of truth. And we're going to cinch it up, get a load of this, seven ways. Now, I know when you think of a seven-point sermon, you say, oh, good grief, Jeffrey. 3 points is really what I was looking forward to. Thank you very much. But actually, I came out shorter word-wise than my other 3-point sermons. So therefore, you can breathe a certain sigh of relief, although I know you would stay here all day just to hear the Word of God proclaimed, being the saints that you are. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray your blessings on as we cinch up the belt of truth, meaning the Word of God and your gift of truth to us and to the world. Anoint us, please, Holy Spirit. We want to be quickened. We want to be aware. We want to be awake. We want to be stimulated by that which only you can do. And Jesus, be high and lifted up in this time because you are truth. And Father, let it all be for your greater glory and our experiencing satisfaction and joy in the truth of God through Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, then, what is truth? Remember when Jesus came before Pilate and he was speaking of, I came to bear witness to the truth. That was Jesus' own truth project. And Pilate said, what is truth? Now, when you hear that, you really ought to hear it in terms of how it was really most likely going on. it was said by Pontius the Pompous Pilate. I call him Pompous Pontius Pilate. It was said by him, no doubt, with disdain and arrogance in the sense of, what is truth? You came to, in other words, there is no truth. Who knows if there's anything called truth? What is truth? So with that, he lived in a world in which absolute truth just did not exist. Sound familiar? For the United States of America in general, a world in which absolute truth does not exist. So, in that mockery of Pilate, angry that Christ dared to speak of truth, the pompous Pontius Pilate looked straight in the face at that moment of incarnate truth, divine truth, and he could not discern it. Pompous Pontius Pilate picked a pack of pickled peppers. Like so many today, he was a postmodernist, even though he lived in pre-modern times. How sad is it that we live in postmodern times surrounded by not people enlightened by the truth, but postmodernists who deny the truth. So back to the question. But leave off the disdain. What is truth? What is truth? Truth is defined as that which conforms with fact or reality that is realio, trulio, true. It is genuineness. It is actuality. In a word, truth is reality. It is how things actually are. And who tells us how things actually are? No one less than God himself. Bishop Berkeley years ago honed in on it and said, a correspondence theory of truth, only it's no theory, it's real. He said that truth corresponds to reality as reality is defined by God. Truth corresponds to reality, of course, as reality is defined by God, who what? Created reality, sustains reality, and directs all reality to the final goal of all reality, which is his magnificent glory in the return of Jesus Christ in that great day for which we are hoping comes by the end of this sermon. So theologically, truth, or maybe before the end, huh? Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, the will, the character, the glory of the being of God. Truth is that merciful self-disclosure by God who didn't create us and let us float around in some nebulous, nihilistic void of nothingness and knowing nothing. Oh my goodness, who knows what to say or think or do? No, God was gracious to create us and define us. Truth is what it is, because God declares it to be so and made it to be so and then told us it is so. So all truth then that is true truth, to use Francis Schaeffer's phrase, must be defined in terms of God whose very nature is truth. God is truth. How about Psalm 31:5, Isaiah 65:16? God is the God of truth. How about John 1:14? Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. How about John 14:6? Jesus Christ is, I am the way, the life, and the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, John 14:17. Paul calls Scripture the Word of truth in 2 Timothy 2:15. Jesus prayed, your word, O God, is true, John 17:17. Everything about God is true. God always tells it like it is. He never lies. Thank God. How valuable is the truth then? Well, by way of introduction, and we're about to move into our first point. How valuable is the truth? Well, church, since it arises from God, its worth naturally is more Then gold, yes, then fine gold. Psalm 19, we read it in calling us to worship. Sweeter is truth than the honey and the dibs, or the sweetness, sweetest part of the honeycomb that drips out because it's so sweet. John Calvin said, nothing is deemed more precious by God than truth. No one can be saved without the truth, nor can anyone be sanctified or strengthened without the truth. Well, this being so, what I want to do now with you is look at the characteristics of truth together. And Ephesians 6, put on the belt of truth. That's to be around us and to gird us up, to use the biblical term, for living a better than anything new year for 2021. So what are the distinguishing properties of truth? And here I'm going to ask you to have 7 notches in your belt of truth and cinch each one up with me. And by the time we've cinched up 7 little holes or notches, we're either going to be not breathing or feeling mighty powerful. You know, I remember that old cartoon that was of the older guy, and a pretty girl walks by, and he sucks in his belly and his chest, and then she goes by, and he drops down like that. Well, we actually want to cinch up and puff up. Oh, and by the way, for those who are watching, I do not have a back brace on. These are actually suspenders. So that's a little aside, which you didn't care about. Okay, notch number 1. Ready? First, the belt of truth is divine. The first notch, tighten that baby up. It is divine, meaning ultimately all truth is God's truth. This is his world. Anything that is true about the world arises from the God of truth. That is, truth is divine, not because it grows on divine like D grapes do. But truth is divine because it has its origin from above. All truth does. It is not of this world in its origin through some evolutionary process, though it does define this world's destiny and reality. Truth is not what the crowd speculates something to be. It's not statistical morality. Everybody gains in from this Gallup poll, so therefore this is truth. Truth is not determined by opinion polls, nor is it discovered by public surveys. It is not grandfathered in by human tradition, although tradition has a lot of truth to it. But truth can be known only by the divine disclosure in nature that God gives. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament in the sky shows forth his handiwork. Divine truth telling us 2 ways. That's the natural revelation of God in the world, and we get math and science and geology and everything from it. But then it goes on and gives us special revelation. Thy word, O Lord, is truth, sweeter than the honeycomb. So I say truth, and Christians say truth is divine because God the Creator is the one source and the sole author of the Genesis, the even beginning, as well as the subsistence of truth in the world. This is God's created world, and God-centered thinking and reasoning like this is right and true as you hold God supreme in your lives. Sin, then, of course, is whatever God says it is. Judgment is whatever God says that judgment is. Salvation is whatever God says it is. Heaven and hell are what God say they are. It matters not what man says, really, ultimately, but simply what God says and has said. This stands over against our secular, cultural, American way of thinking, which is an echo right now prevalent of the ancient philosopher Protagoras. His phrase was homo mensura, man the measure of all things. That's the humanist creed. I am the measure of all things, me, myself, and I. No, no, no. God is the measure of all things. One word of what God says is worth more than 10,000 libraries of what man has concocted away from God's truth. Romans 3:4, the word of God, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. So all truth in origin is divine. Divine. All truth is derived from its origin in God, from God, disclosed by God, created, sustained by God. And just so, it leads you to glorifying God and enjoying Him truthfully. 2 + 2 = 4. And that's true because God established mathematics in His created world. 2 + 2 cannot equal 5, no matter what some progressive theological muckety-muck might say. All right, let's go to cinching that belt of truth up, notch number 2. This belt of truth, which we are cinching up for better than anything new here, is this. It is absolute. It is absolute. Without God, there cannot be any absolutes, because we're left in that morass of man's thought competing with man's thought competing. This is what I think. It's like the end of Judges. Remember, the word of God wasn't honored. And the Bible says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We might think that's cool. No, that leads to anarchy and moralistic breakdowns in every direction. Without absolutes, there can be no objective universal truths. Without absolutes, truth becomes feeling-oriented, relative, pragmatic, whatever works, that's what's true. What we do in our own eyes and according to our own whims, that's what we say is true. But without absolutes, truth gives way to mere personal or cultural preferences, and we all have them. I got my love lines. You got your love lines. Me mommy and me daddy and me grandpappy Amos affirmed this, as well as my grandmammy Gertrude. And this is what I affirm, and don't you confuse me with any facts. Well, on the contrary, all true truth must be absolute, because God is absolutely true and truth Himself, unchangeably so, again, as creator of all that is and sustainer of this world right now in which we live, so much so that if God took the day off, instantly, poof, we would cease to exist. This means that only what is of His truth is true, meaning everything contrary to God's truth is a lie. We need to be able to know that truth is exclusive. It's not inclusive. Truth is discriminating, as it has to exclude what is not true. We'll do that with graciousness. We'll do that with compassion and tenderness. But truth is incompatible with and intolerant, graciously again, of all error. Again, 2 apples + 2 apples must be 4 apples, not 5 apples, no matter who says it. Since all truth is God's truth, then all untruths are the devil's lies or the manifestation of the flesh and brokenness of man's sin. The issue in our day is whether there is absolute truth that is true for everyone. No matter who they are, no matter where they live, and no matter what they do. Many people say truth today is whatever you want it to be. Excuse me, they claim that what you believe is true for you and what I believe is true for me, even when our two worlds contradict each other and clash and bump into each other. We know one thing, that if your truth that you're proposing contradicts the very sentence truth that I'm proposing, one of two things is possible. We can both be wrong, or one of us is right and the other one's wrong. We cannot say this worship bulletin is not a worship bulletin. It violates the law of non-contradiction, and you might as well take your mind and put it on the shelf and forget about reasoning. How can something, amen, be both true and not true at the same time? So, when our culture embraces such a wrong worldview in its self-deception, and truth is no longer objective, an absolute, but purely my feelings, then we're back to Homo Mensura, Protagoras, man the measure of all things. But I must say this, without the belt of absolute truth, society's pants fall down. And that's embarrassing. How about this one? Before we move on a little bit, there are no genders versus there are two genders, male and female. Well, you see the intolerance of our society, because basically what's rolling out there in the moral revolution is that you're not allowed to say now that there actually are two and only two genders. So all truth is universally true, and that's the nature of an absolute. There's no place where truth is not true. It's comprehensive, total, complete. Truth is true for everyone in the same capacity, at the same time. Francis Schaeffer maintains, quote, biblical Christianity is truth concerning total reality. That is, absolute truth exists without any exceptions. Truth is absolute because it is derived from the one true, truthful God. I keep saying that in different ways. Absolute truth depends on God and his willful disclosure of truth for the sake of his glory and our enjoyment of his glory as his people. So, cinch up, notch number three. Tighten up, world of Christians. It brings us thirdly to the truth is singular. Truth is unified. You can feel this intuitively, I believe, meaning truth is a single entity, right? It does not exist in bits and pieces of unrelated ideas or disconnected data, all broken up and chopped up. And no, God is one, and his truth is one. And may we be won over by the fact that his truth is one. And we'd be made one when we're won over by the fact that his truth is one. Are you thoroughly confused on that one? The Bible most often uses the definite article, the, when it speaks of truth. Truth can never be merely a truth, as if it exists in a fragment broken off from various sources. We need to see that God himself is unified. In creating a unified world, even though broken and destroyed and destructed by sin, the unified nature of truth would be rising from God, who is truth himself. So, of course, truth is one body of truth, always internally consistent with itself, never contradicting itself. Truth always speaks with one voice and is always in perfect agreement with itself, always in harmony with everything else it says, since each aspect of truth is congruent with the sum of its parts. And that's why we note inconsistencies in the press, and they jump on so-and-so for having said so-and-so, but now they're saying so-and-so. Or they jump on so-and-so for saying so-and-so, and then they quote so-and-so against so-and-so, and these get mad that so-and-so said so-and-so, if you get what I'm saying. Good, because I don't. So Schaeffer notes, Christianity is not a series of truths in the plural, but rather truth spelled with a capital T. In other words, truth presents a singular worldview. There really, truly is one origin of the universe, one problem of the human race that breaks out into 1,000 others, but one major problem, sin, one way of salvation, one way of holiness, one standard for the family, one plan for human history, one consummation at the end of the age, the glory of Christ breaking the eastern sky, riding on that great white horse. My Lord, what a morning when the stars begin to shine. One declaration on the truth of human sexuality as only either male or female. James Montgomery Boyce asserts, truth holds together. There is no phase of truth that is not related to every other phase of truth. All things that are true are part of the truth and stand in proper relationship to God, who is himself the truth. Isn't that an exciting, glorious, wondrous, happy vision of the truth that I find, you find, I'll bet your booties, that the society during the week keeps eroding that view and vision away from me? And Phooey, I'm cinching up my belt. Truth is consistent with himself, with itself, always consistent with the nature of God. So belt hole or cinch up hole number four. The belt of truth is objective. All right, what do we mean by that? That it's not first in the feelings, okay? I mean, it touches the feelings. You should be ignited by the truth. We should be, in a sense, blasted by the truth. Annie Dillard, what's the prestigious award you win when you're the best writer? Pardon me? Yes, whatever you said. It's my earrings. But she won that award. The Pulitzer Prize. Yes, thank you. You said that. I could hear. I know your voice. Okay. That was my wife. The Pulitzer. She won the Pulitzer. But she used to worship at Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh. And she said, we as elders and pastors should supply crash helmets and seat belts. Because we're coming in to hear the truth. And the truth may explode all around us. So that we could be discombobulated, but we're held down. The point here is that truth is not first discovered by personal feelings, nor first determined by private intuitions. Yes, truth should and must move the affections deeply, because truth is beautiful, lovely, gorgeous, coming from God. But truth does not first bypass the mind or the objective criteria of analysis. It is first propositional. It comes in sentence form. Thank God it does. This Bible is given as the word of sentence form. But even as we talk, there are sentence forms and logic. It is conveyed in defined words and forms sentences and rational definitions and precise communication with real meaning. Realio, trulio. Words mean something in regard to truth. Remember the old joke, what is white and black and red all over? A newspaper. Well, what I'm getting at here is truth is black and white, and it should be red all over. It's definite, definitive, conclusive. It's not abstract or vague. Sure, there are things that are tough to understand, but truth is not floating somewhere up there out of our reach. Well, advanced calculus is, but that's not what we're talking about here. Truth can be known by all of us because it is accurately stated by the fixed meaning of words, and they can be observed, discussed, studied, analyzed, believed, proclaimed, and defended. I'm speaking here against those who denude and extract meaning out of words. No. That's crazy. And because truth is objective, it's impartial, unbiased, unprejudiced, nonpartisan. It speaks to all people in all places with the same. Truth never speaks out of both sides of its mouth. It's never in the area of 50 shades of gray. It never caters to the crowd. It never says one thing to one person and something else to another. I'm talking about truth. I know we all break down because of our sin in these areas. We want to get better. But truth itself addresses all people alike as it finds them. And it's objective, and so it glorifies God greatly. For as you cinch up this belt of truth, it gives you stability, which is God's intent by giving us his truth, by which to enjoy him and enjoy this life that comes from his hand and is so blessed among us. So, number five, notch, cinching it up. We're moving along here. Okay, truth is unchangeable. Okay? Makes sense, doesn't it? And it is our ministry and mission to take the unchanging truth of the Lord Jesus Christ into an ever-changing culture. Why is truth unchanging? Well, since God does not change, then neither does his truth, which cannot be true today, but not true tomorrow. Truth is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forevermore. And that is exactly very important for us to get hold of and to stay hold of and forever. Society will indeed try to redefine morality. Culture will indeed try to reclassify its morals all the time. But Jesus identified himself as the truth, not the custom of the day. Truth is forever the same. The psalmist says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119. Isaiah 48 affirms, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever." The world changes, you betcha. Kingdoms rise and fall, you betcha. But truth remains unchanging. Truth is permanent, fixed, inflexible, unvarying, constant, lasting, enduring, timeless, and unchanging, because truth is of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forevermore. Therefore, truth is always relevant, always applicable, always meaningful, always practical, and it is always current. You are the most current, hip, up-to-the-moment dudes and dudesses around. Truth addresses the issues of the day with penetrating insight from God. It is never outdated, obsolete, or expired. Truth never tires, wanes, or ceases to be true. Malachi 3:6, "I, the Lord God, do not change. Therefore, you, O house of Israel," truth is unchanging because God is unchanging. And that's why Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth, O God. Your word is true." You see, for God's glory and our joy, we are to know, in cinching up the belt of truth, the truth cleanses and it purifies us. And that's happy stuff, that the Holy Spirit applies God's truth to you. What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to cinch up this belt of truth around your soul, your mind, your heart, your strength? It means that the Holy Spirit with truth penetrates into the deepest level of the human heart, your heart. It cuts you to the bone. The Holy Spirit works from the inside out. Hebrews 4:12, the discerning of flesh and spirit and bone and sinew. The Holy Spirit wields the sword of truth with life-changing power in you. With divine truth, God the Holy Spirit converts, sanctifies, and strengthens you. He conforms, transforms, reforms your way of thinking and living and laughing and enjoying all of life, and to know that God gives us all things in life richly to enjoy and to participate happily in magnifying His glory. So God's truth itself, renews your minds, revives your heart, redirects your steps. Truth has the final word in all matters, telling us how to worship and how to walk as Christians in this crazy USA. It tells you how to follow the Lord Jesus. It is the final arbiter on any subject in your life. Truth is the final judge of every life on this earth. All people are measured by the truth because God measures them and He is truth. Every life is weighed in the balances of truth. Every destiny is marked by the truth. And so the truth will have the final say-so in every life, be it for an eternity of bliss with Jesus or an eternity of damnation without Him, because Jesus is the only one who has ever said, "I am the light, the way, and the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So truth speaks. Truth speaks with the voice of divine sovereignty. It roars with the sound of many waters. It drowns out every other voice but God's. And truth is commanding and arresting and directional. And truth has the authority to order us and to command us. And it summons us and mandates our complete compliance. It's binding, demands our response. It is boss, but in the most liberating and non-oppressive way. And it gives us tremendous hope. The truth of Elijah and Elisha, remember that? Elisha was eating his cornflakes or his raisin bran in the house, as R.C. Sproul notes, and looks out the window and he sees the enemies of God camped all about them, surrounding them on the hills, stacking up into the mountains, thousands of enemies of God and of Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha drops his spoon and says, "Oh my goodness, Elijah, what are we going to do?" And Elijah goes to the window and he counts And he says, coming back to Elisha, those who are with us are more than those who are against us. And Elisha gets up from the table and he goes out and he counts. And he says, how are you counting? I'm not getting it. And Elijah says, oh God, will you open his eyes? And God opens the eyes of Elisha. And he relaxes in the truth, or shall we say, he cinches up the belt of truth. May we know it, be it, do the same. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we sing our final hymn and be people who stand on the Word of God, we pray strength against these subtle intimations, subtle whispers, subtle undermining that our secular culture does to us with such repetitive excellence that often we're duped, and often, too often, we find ourselves weakening, and we don't want to. You are the God of truth. Resubstantiate us this day with such a loyalty and knowledge that truly we wear the belt of truth to your glory and our enjoyment of life under the auspices of you, the God of all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.